I'm reading Genesis 45, 26, 28. Hold on here. Damn it. All right, hold on. And I got a thing here. Hold on. I'll try to get my damn Bible here. All right, hold on here. All right, Genesis 45, 26, 28. And he told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive. He is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart flattered, for I believed them not. And they told him all the words of the Joseph, which he said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revealed. And Israel said to Enough, Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go see him before I die.
We're here tonight to honor four seniors. They're actually not seniors. They've all graduated at this point, I guess. They're graduates of high school, and I appreciate Brother Mike, who said to me, you've got one of those graduates in your home. It seems fitting that you would speak tonight. So I was thinking back to the first time that I spoke and I preached on a night back in Fordland when we honored our seniors, and I was a very, very young parent at that time. And I thought to myself, wow, these parents with high school graduates, they're so old. I don't think that anymore. I don't think that anymore. But I remember that thought going through my mind. Wow, they must be really old. So I come from a line of criers. It's my mother's side of the family. My grandpa was a strong man, a very strong man. He was a farmer. He worked outside every day of his life. He did strong man things. He was a very tough man. But he was quick to cry. I remember arriving at his house after we'd moved away and come back. Every time we came back, we'd show up and he would come outside and he would cry as he hugged us. And then as we left, he would cry some more. My grandmother was worse. She cried all the time at anything. Movies, TV commercials, whatever it was, she was easy to shed a tear. I mean, it just took nothing at all. My mother was exactly the same way. My mother, when I was growing up, she could just cry at the drop of a hat. And she frustrated herself in doing so at times, but it was easy for her to cry. My dad, on the other hand, was a very affectionate man. My dad was quick with a hug, a peck on the cheek. I never, ever questioned whether or not he loved me. I know that he always did, but I remember never seeing him cry. We had tragic things happen in my childhood years. I had a cousin who drowned, and I remember sobbing through his funeral when I was 10 years old. And I know that in private moments, my dad must have shed a tear. I know that he did, but I don't recall it. It's a core memory of mine, the first time I remember seeing my dad cry. I could take you right back to that driveway. I could take you to 2004 Southern Hills in Mexico, Missouri. I could take you to that driveway and I could point to the spot where I believe my father was standing when I first saw him cry. My brother had a little S10 Chevy pickup and it was packed. There were boxes, there were clothes, there was a mattress that was standing up. And my dad cried as he hugged my brother goodbye. It was moving out day. My brother was going to college, and that's the first time I remember my father cry. I didn't understand it. I didn't get it. I mean, is this the first time? Is this really what's going to bring tears to your eye? After all these years, this is the moment? And now I find myself knocking on that door, and I get it. I get it. I've come tonight to talk about Joseph. I think about Jacob, his father. Joseph we're familiar with. If you're not familiar, you can start reading in Genesis 37. You can bypass chapter 38, pick up in verse 39, and read through chapter 50, and you'll get the life of Joseph, a great character in the book of Genesis. And we get a really good overview of his life, and we get a few very specific details about him. What you need to understand is that, I don't know how you picture it, but there was a day that Jacob and Joseph departed from one another. It was a day, I don't know, like any other day. It was a day that Jacob had sent Joseph to check on his brothers. And I think that the farthest thing from either of their minds was, this is the day. This is the last day that we're going to see each other for a span of some 22 years. Joseph is 17 years old, and he is going to be thrust away from his home. He's going to be taken away from his land. He's going to be taken away from his family. He's going to be taken away from his father into a country that he did not know. 17 years old. Joseph will find himself away from home for the first time. And there are lessons that we can learn about life, and there are observations that we can make about 17-year-olds leaving home and about leaving home in general, and things that we need to keep in mind. I've titled the sermon tonight, Living the Dream. You know about the dream. Joseph had two of them, actually. He had dreams. One of them involved his brother's sheaves all bowing down to his sheaf. And the other involved the sun, moon, and stars all bowing down to him. And they all understood what the meaning was. They all understood that the brothers' sheaves were going to bow down to him, and Joseph's was going to be there, and they're all bowing down to him. And then his father and mother and brothers are eventually all going to come and prostrate themselves before Joseph. And his brothers despised him for the dreams. Dreams are great. Aspirations, goals, things that you want to do, accomplishments that you want to make and have, and they're all wonderful things. But let me tell you some things that we learn in the life of Joseph about living the dream. What we find about life as we live the dream is that it can come with heartache. I haven't come to depress you tonight. I've just come to show you what the Bible teaches us. And that is that sometimes as we're living the dream, as we're living our lives, that there are times that those lives are going to come with some heartache. And I remind you that Joseph knew heartache, that he understood what it was to be hated. His brothers hated him, the Bible says. In fact, they hated him before the dream, and then after the dream, they hated him more, the Bible says. So as if he couldn't be hated enough before, he was hated even more afterwards. That's what the Bible tells us in the passages that you see in chapter 37, rather, verses 4 and 5, and again there in verse number 8. But in chapter 37, then you drop down to verse number 18, and now Joseph doesn't know it, but he's left home for the last time. And the Bible says in verse 18 that his brothers, saw him from a distance, and before he came close to them, they plotted against him to put him to death. And they said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. So now come and let us kill him. Cast him into one of the pits, and we will say, a wild beast has devoured him. Then let us see what will become of his dreams." And then you drop down in that same context to verse number 26, or verse number 25, rather. It says that they sat down to eat a meal. This is after they have taken his tunic off in verse 23, and they've thrown him into an empty pit, verse 24. Verse 25 says they sat down to eat a meal. Then they lifted up their eyes, and they saw, and behold, a caravan of Ishmaelites was coming from Gilead with the camels bearing Aramaic gum and balm and myrrh, going down to bring them to Egypt. And Judah said to his brothers, "What gain is it if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers listened. Then some Midianite traders passed by, so they pulled him up and lifted Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. Thus they brought Joseph into Egypt. You ever stop to think about what it must have been like in that pit? I suppose you have. But can you imagine what it must have been like for them to strip off that coat of many colors and to throw him into that pit? And then the Bible says that the brothers sat down and ate a meal. I wonder how close they ate to the pit. I don't know, but the Bible doesn't tell us. But I wonder if it was close enough that Joseph was able to listen, that Joseph was able to hear them reasoning together, that Joseph was able to hear them plotting against him and plotting whether or not to kill him, whether or not to take his life. And then the Ishmaelites come, and I wonder if it was close enough that Joseph could hear them coming. And I wonder if he heard his brother say, hey, you know what, Judah? Judah says, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't kill him, but let's just sell him on down the road. And I wonder what it must have been like when they pulled him up out of that pit. And I wonder what the look on his face was as they surely must have bound him so that he didn't run. I don't know if they had a makeshift cage. I don't know if they tied his hands with some kind of rope. I don't know what they did to him, but the Bible says that he was taken away from his home and he was carried down into Egypt. And I wonder what the look was on his face as he watched his homeland slowly disappear from sight as he got down the road. And I wonder what was going through his mind as he's thinking, will I ever see home again? Will I ever see my father again? Will I ever see these brothers of mine again? He's carried away from home with so many questions and so few answers. In chapter 40, verse number 15, Joseph is recalling events and he says, I was in fact stolen from the land of the Hebrews. And even here, I've done nothing that they should throw me into this pit. Now he's imprisoned in Egypt. And again, he hasn't done anything wrong. And he says, listen, I was stolen. They robbed me. I was taken away from my father's home. I was taken away from home. But at 17, he understood that life can come with heartache, that there are things that can cause us difficulty in our lives. I'm not trying to sugarcoat it. I'm trying just to be real tonight. Young people, those of you who have graduated, listen. There are times when life is difficult. It just is. Joseph is a great example of that. That it's not all roses from here on out, but there are times when life can be difficult. But nobody knows that better than our Lord. Do you know that Jesus left the glories of heaven and the Bible says he came down and he put on flesh? And he was tempted in all points as we are? That he understood difficulty? Keep in mind the New Testament that we read from was written about a quarter of it by the Apostle Paul, who knew difficulty in life. He understood imprisonment and persecution. And he understood all of these things. The question is not if heartache will come, it's when heartache will come. It happens. I'm just being real. That's just the way it is. I tell you, I've not come tonight to depress you, but I've come to be real with you. Because I'm telling you that at 17 years old, Joseph reached a crossroads in his life. And he could have easily gone any direction. Now he is being carried hundreds of miles away from his home. He is going to be away from dad. His mom has passed away, but he's going to be away from dad. He's going to be away from his family. He's going to be away from anybody who knows him. He's going to be taken off into a strange land, and he is a strange person in a strange land, and he's at a crossroads. Now, what's he going to do with God? Where is God going to be in his life? Difficulty strikes, and he's at a crossroads. Now, what's he going to do? You're going to face a crossroads in your life. And you're going to have to answer the question, what am I going to do? Difficulty comes. And you're going to have to make a choice just like Joseph. Are you going to be bitter? Or are you going to stay close to God? What will you do with difficulty? Living the dream? It comes with temptation. Joseph knew temptation. He knew something about temptation in Potiphar's house. The Bible tells us that those Ishmaelite traders, they sold him to Potiphar. Potiphar is a captain of the guard in Pharaoh's army. He is a very great and powerful man. And so Joseph is sold into Potiphar's home. And Joseph, the Bible says, is a very handsome man. I don't know much about that, but He himself is beautiful in appearance, the Bible says in Genesis 39 and verse number 6. And the Bible says in verse number 7 of chapter 39, it happened after these events that his master's wife set her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. He's given all that he owns into my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God?" Something he knew about temptation. If you continue reading, what you find is that day after day, Potiphar's wife tried to wear him down. And she said things like, "Hey, listen, just lie next to me. I mean, we can keep all the clothes on. Just lie next to me. Just come over here, sit down. Just come over here and lie down." And Joseph was so conscientious about not sinning against God and not doing anything against his ruler that he said, "I'm not even going to get close to that." And he refused day after day. He knew something about temptation, but again, I think about the fact that he's all these miles away from home. His mistress, Potiphar's wife, I mean, she's not wanting to get herself in any trouble, so she's going to do her best to hide it. But you see what Joseph was willing to do with temptation. You're going to come to a crossroads in your life, young people. All of us do. In fact, it does never go away. I hate to tell you that, but it just doesn't go away. Some things might change, but it never goes away completely. But the Bible tells us in James chapter 1 and verse number 13, for example, "Let no one say when he is tempted that he is tempted by God. God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." James says, let no one say if he is tempted. No, he says when he is tempted. That means temptation is going to come. That means the devil will be after all of us. So the great news is that God was with Joseph as he went to Egypt. The bad news is that the devil also went to Egypt with Joseph. And the devil will be with us as well. But you look at 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, and you put a smile back on your face, because the Bible says that God is faithful, that God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation he will provide a way of escape. He did for Joseph. It involved running out of the house with her holding his clothes, but he got out of there. He ran. God provided a way of escape, and he will provide you a way of escape. But you need to know that life comes with temptation. You're going to find yourself at a crossroads, and you're going to have to decide what you will do with the devil's temptation. Just don't forget that God is faithful, that God will help you. Certainly he was with Joseph, and certainly he will be with you. I'm telling you, I've not come to depress you tonight, but number three, I just want to say that living the dream can come with disappointment. You say, "Adam, what are we doing? What are we doing?" I'm just telling you that life comes with disappointment. I've reached an age where I can share some of this with you, and we see it. You know, if you've studied the life of Joseph, that what I'm saying is right. And if you've lived any time at all, you know that this comes with life. Joseph knows what it felt like to be let down by other people. I hate that I can let people down. It bothers me. But I know that I have it in me. I know that I can. I don't want to do that. But Joseph knew what it was to be let down by other people. He knew what it was to be let down by his brothers. Potiphar let him down. Potiphar believed that conniving wife over Joseph, the one that he had entrusted all of his goods to. He let him down, and Joseph ended up in prison. And then after he's in prison, that cupbearer of Pharaoh let him down, disappointed him. Joseph interprets his dream, and all he says is one thing. He says, "Please remember me when you get to Pharaoh." And he didn't, right? He let him down for 2 years. 2 more years, Joseph had to stay in prison because the cupbearer let him down. Listen, life can bring disappointment. We will be around people from time to time, and they will disappoint us. They may not mean to disappoint us, but they will, and it happened to Jesus. Jesus was disappointed by his closest friends. betrayed, denied, forsaken by his closest friends. Life can bring heartache. Living the dream can bring disappointment. Living the dream comes sometimes with temptation. Now let's look at three more on another side of the coin. And let me remind you, young people, that when you get to your crossroads and you're trying to figure out what direction you're going to go, let me remind you of three very, very important truths, again, from the life of Joseph. Number one, living the dream, life comes with God and His providence. And again, it doesn't take a rocket scientist. You don't have to be a great Bible scholar to see how God was involved in the life of Joseph. And it is fascinating for us to watch. If you turn again to chapter 39, again, verse number 1, Joseph is brought down. But the Bible says in verse number 2, and the Lord Yahweh was with Joseph. So he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Verse 3, now his master saw that Yahweh was with him and how Yahweh caused all that he did to succeed in his hand. And after Joseph goes to prison, look at verse 21, but Yahweh was with Joseph and extended loving kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. Verse 23, the chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's hand because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made succeed. The Lord was with him. The Lord will be with you. It's exciting to look at and study the life of Joseph because it's just so obvious. It's just so clear that God was with him. It's just so fun to think about what God was able to do with Joseph and through him. And you get over to chapter 45, and you look here now after all of these events have taken place, and now he's been revealed to his brothers, and he says to his brothers in chapter 45 and verse 5, so now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. I wonder, as he was going through what he was going through and the difficult moments and the heartache, as people were disappointing him and letting him down, I wonder in a quiet moment if Joseph didn't wonder, why? Why is this happening? I wonder in a quiet moment as he is being carried away, past his will, against his will, as he's being carried down into Egypt, I wonder if he looks up and he says, God, why? What did I do? I've been trying to do what's right. I've been trying to serve you. I've been trying to be faithful to you. Why is this happening to me? And I wonder when he got to Egypt if he didn't, in a quiet moment, still ask, why? What have I done? You be patient. You be patient. And you watch what God can do. 22 years later, Joseph is going to be reunited with his family. And he's going to be able to look back over 22 years and see the hand of God. He was able to look back and he saw what God could do. He says, listen, now I get it. God sent me here to preserve life. There was a famine coming, and I was sent here by God to keep people alive. But it was so much more than that. What is God going to do with those people who have now come to Egypt, Joseph's family? Now those people are going to grow, and they're going to multiply. And they're going to become a nation unto themselves. And one day God is going to lead that nation out of Egypt and ultimately into the promised land, a promise that he'd made to Joseph's great-grandfather Abraham. Great-great-great-grandfather Abraham. He carries him into the land of promise. But God doesn't just have that on his mind. Through the line of Judah is going to come the Christ, the Messiah, and the Messiah is going to be able to save all people from their sin. And so when Joseph is carried against his will into Egypt, he had me on his mind. He did it to preserve my life. Isn't that amazing? Joseph in the moment is asking why. God says, just you wait. I'm looking millennia into the future. Joseph, I'm looking so far ahead of you, it'll make your head spin. And young people, you might be sitting here asking, what's next? You might be asking, what am I going to do? What is the next step? Or you're asking, why am I going through this? Or why am I suffering that? Wait. Wait. And be patient and see what God can do. Wait and see what God can do. And it may be something that will make your head spin later in your life. Ask those of us who are old, can you see God's hand in your life? It's not hard. Absolutely, we can see it. Living the dream comes with God's providence. That's an exciting thing. Joseph accomplished so much more than just saving some people from a famine. God had such greater things on his mind in the life of Joseph. Living the dream comes with positive influence. I just want you in passing here to think about Joseph and the impact that he made on the lives of so many people. In Genesis chapter 50 and verse number 20, as we're getting to the end of the book of Genesis and Joseph again is looking back, now his father has died, and the Bible says in Genesis 50 and verse 20, as for you, to his brothers, he says, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to do what has happened on this day to keep many people alive. So now he says, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and he spoke to their heart. The positive influence that Joseph was in the lives of so many others. You have that ability too, young people. You have the ability to be a positive influence in the lives of others. Joseph found himself at a crossroads. Who knows where he could have gone? He had any direction he could have taken himself. He's going to be away from home. Nobody's going to know. He could have gone any direction he wanted to go, but he stayed true. He stayed faithful to God. And at the end of his life, he looked back and he said, look at what God can do. People looked at him in a positive way. You stay faithful to God and you be a good, positive influence for Jesus in this world. You choose today to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. You choose to be a positive influence on the world. Living the dream, you have the ability to be such a great influence in this world. Never forget the real impact that you can make. And this is the final thing that I want to say. Living the dream, it can come with such a very happy reunion. Joseph lived over half of his life away from his father. And I think about those 22 years. And I think about the day that he left. And then I think about when he returned to his father or when he was able to see his father. And if you go to your Bible in chapter 46, Jeff read for us a moment ago the end of chapter 45, and the Bible says that the spirit of Jacob revived within himself when he learned that Joseph was alive, and so he decides that he's going to go to Egypt and he's going to see his son. And I want you to turn in your Bibles, I want you to see this, because what the Bible tells us next is vitally important and sometimes overlooked. Do you know the last thing that Joseph's father did before he left the promised land? The last thing that he did before leaving home. Now Jacob is leaving home and he's going to Egypt where Joseph is. And the last thing that he did is in chapter 46 and verse number 1. The Bible says, so Israel, Jacob, Joseph's father, set out with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. And the Bible says in verse 2 that God spoke to Israel in visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here I am. And he said, I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you a great nation there. I myself will go down with you to Egypt, and I myself will also bring you up again, and Joseph will close your eyes with his hand. And so then, verse 5, Jacob arises and he leaves Beersheba. The last thing that Jacob did before leaving the promised land, before getting out of Israel, was he made a sacrifice to God. He worshiped. What I'd like to say is that tells us a lot about what Joseph grew up with. It tells us a lot about the faith of his father, and the faith of his father became the faith of his 17-year-old son, and that faith would follow for the next 22 years. For 22 years, a dad thought his son was dead. Isn't that amazing? For 22 years, he really believed that he was gone. And so I go on over to chapter 46, down further in 46 to verse number 29. And the Bible says that Joseph harnessed his chariot and went up to Goshen to meet his father Israel. As soon as he appeared before him, he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a long time. Then Israel said to Joseph, now I can die since I've seen your face that you are still alive. An understatement of understatements. He fell on his neck and wept a long time. You were dead. For 22 years, you were dead. Dad, I didn't think I'd ever see you again. When they saw each other, they wept. What if Joseph had not remained faithful? Is the reunion the same? I'm glad that we don't have to answer that, because he was. You're going to reach a crossroads in your life as you live the dream. Please stay faithful. Please stay faithful. Let it be a happy reunion every time you're together. John said, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. I understand my dad's tears now. This day gets here so fast. I didn't understand it then. I couldn't understand it then. I don't know when these boys are mine and Julie's are going to leave home. I don't know. My dad said, if I had known that y'all were just going to grow up and move out, I wouldn't have had you. I don't look forward to it in one sense, but I do in another. Go live the dream. Go live the dream. We're proud of you. We're pulling for you. We want you to achieve greatness. But nothing matters if you're not faithful. That's all that matters in the end. Stay faithful. Know that He will never leave you nor forsake you. That if we are parted for 22 years, there can be a happy reunion if you walk in the truth. Stay faithful. That's the way life happens. There's an overview. There are more that could be said. But tonight, Where are you in your relationship with your Heavenly Father? Where are you? Can I ask you, when you stand before God, will that be a happy reunion? Will that be a good thing? In other words, are you prepared for it? I'm so glad that Joseph stayed faithful, aren't you? I'm so glad that he stayed close to God, that he could see the hand of God in his life, that though he was tempted, he never gave into it, that he stayed true to God. Wasn't a perfect man, I don't believe in any way, but he stayed with God. Tonight, that's our encouragement to you. Are you saved tonight? Do you find yourself in a right relationship with God? If the answer is no, then all of that can change tonight. Tonight, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you ready to make that confession? To repent of sin in your life? To be immersed in the waters of baptism? To have your sins washed away? Tonight, you can rise to be right with God. You can be a part of His family, ready to be with Him forever. Tonight, if you, as a child of God, have wandered away, maybe you reached the crossroads and you took a left and when you should have stayed right. Maybe tonight you've wandered away in some way. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, can we pray with you tonight? Can we help you in any way? That's all we want to do. If you need to come, please do. While together we stand and while we sing.